probably to most here this morning, but a thought that God had placed upon my heart, and I will want to look at it this morning. I'm going to start reading down in verse number 29 and read down through verse maybe 37 this morning into your hearing. And there's a lot of things you could title these verses of Scripture as far as the message that we feel like God's placed upon our heart today, but probably going to take our title and our thought out of verse number 36 this morning. And looking at this thought, looking upon Jesus. Looking upon Jesus. I want you to think about that thought. And, of course, we're looking at the account here where John the Baptist, of course, a delegation has come to question John. Of course, don't have time to get into the ministry of John the Baptist this morning. Of course, being the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming, of course, his coming and certainly to the children of Israel. And, of course, we see the statement, the Lamb of God. I believe we also could title this morning, Jesus' greatest title, or one of Jesus' greatest titles, as the Lamb of God. And we'll talk about that throughout the message this morning. But I like that thought this morning, looking upon Jesus. Looking upon Jesus. I pray that each of us will consider who or what we are looking upon. We find, again, that John is proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, as we need to proclaim in this day. But just as in John's day, I believe in our day, people are looking upon or looking at different people and different situations and circumstances more than they're looking upon Christ. So this morning, with that being said, if you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I want to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's okay. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, starting in verse number 29, the Bible says the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And boy, what a great thought that is. And saith, now notice this next statement, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now notice in verse 31, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I coming, baptizing with water. And John by record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it bode upon him. And I knew him not. Notice he says that again. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. But then notice in verse 34, John says this, and I saw and by record that this is the Son of God. And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and notice again in verse number 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the privilege to be back in your house this morning. Thank you for all that's been done this morning. Thank you for the teaching of the Word of God, the wonderful singing. And Lord, all that's been done, Father, in your name. But I do pray now, Father, as your servant, that God, that you would anoint me now with fresh oil. God, I pray you give me liberty of mind and liberty of speech this morning, that I'd be able to say those things that you placed upon my heart for this service this morning. Lord, you know who is here. You know what needs to be said, what needs to be done. And so I just pray that, Lord, I commit myself to your hands. Lord, you take me and you use me this morning. Father, for your honor and your glory, I pray ears and hearts be open and receptive under the preaching of the Word of God, especially those that may be here today. They've never truly been born again. I pray, oh God, this morning that they might look upon Jesus today and, Father, receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. Those that might be cold, indifferent, Lord, whatever the need, those that are saved in the will of God, that, Father, we'd rejoice in the salvation that we have through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, I commit it to your hands this morning, this service. Father, you work, Lord, you move, you speak. And I pray, Father, we'd be obedient, submissive, Father, to your word and to your will. Take us now and use us. And, Lord, we're going to thank you and we're going to praise you. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Again, for a few moments today, I want us to consider this thought of looking upon Jesus. Again, as we consider the text before us, as we see that John the Baptist is being questioned about who he is, they ask, are you the Christ? And of course, he lets them know without reservation and hesitation, he is not the Christ. But we also see that he announces the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. So this morning again, let us each consider, are we looking upon man or are we looking upon Jesus by faith? This morning, I want us to consider that thought again, looking upon Jesus. Now, I've got about three things that I want to share with you quickly, as I can with the help of the Holy Spirit of God today. First of all, again, as we're talking about John the Baptist, now, we know, of course, John the Apostle being the writer, and we're looking at John the Baptist and his ministry this morning, and how God used him to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ unto the Jewish nation and to the people that were there at that particular time. And so we see that John's doing that. So the first thing that I want us to look at today and consider, first of all, is number one, John's personal recognition of Christ. John's personal recognition of Christ. Now, you will find a couple different times in the text that we read into your hearing this morning that John makes the statement that I knew him not. Of course, we know that John the Baptist was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. We also know that he was a cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also know, you say, well, how did he not know him? We got to consider, of course, he's out in the wilderness and he's preaching that message of repentance and certainly baptizing it. And so we find, of course, when Jesus shows up here, he makes that statement, and I knew him not, and I knew him not. There's a lot of folks this morning, I'm afraid, that still not do not know him. They know about him today, but they do not know him. There's a great difference this morning in those statements. They know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they do not know him. I want you to notice John's personal recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, John could not successfully proclaim him unto others until he first knew him. You and I today cannot successfully proclaim him to others until we have a personal recognition of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to consider that John, again, the Baptist, I thought about, first of all, I thought about his calling. Again, he was a special messenger that was sent by God with a specific message of repentance and paving the way for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only did I think about his calling, but I think about his confession in verse number 34, as we read into your hearing. I notice again, after Jesus, after John baptizes Jesus, certainly in the River Jordan, and the Spirit of God descends upon him, God lets him know without a shadow of a doubt that this is the Messiah. This is the one that they have been looking for. And so this morning, friend, I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know who you're looking to or what you're looking to. But friend, we need to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only way of salvation this morning. Oh, my friend, how sad it would be to live in this year of 2018, where you've heard gospel preaching, gospel message after gospel message, had opportunity after opportunity to get right with Almighty God. But friend, you have rejected, and you have rejected. You've looked to everything else. You've tried everything else. Friend, why don't you try Jesus this morning? Why don't you look upon him today? Oh, my friend, Jesus makes the difference. Hallelujah this morning. And he's the only one that can. But I'm glad this morning that he does make the difference. I'm glad he still saves old sinners this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm glad, hallelujah, there's still gospel preachers in this day and hour that's lifted up the bloodstained banner of Calvary and let men, women, boys, and girls know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus himself said. And so, friend, I see John's calling, but I see John's confession. Look at it, I believe it is now, in verse number 34. And I saw, and bear record, that this is the Son of God.
In other words, John's saying he's the one that we've been looking for. He's the one that was prophesied about. He's the one that was promised. He's the one. He's the one. And could I say this morning, he's still the one today, my friend. He's still the one. I see John's confession, and I saw in my record that this is the Son of God, a personal recognition before he could share his identity unto others. So we find that John's confession is an eyewitness account. He says, I saw him. I saw him. I understand today that John the Baptist literally saw him with his physical eye. I understand that. And I believe you understand that this morning. But friend, I'll tell you what, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And I'll give you some verses of Scripture here in just a moment. But we see John's confession. I saw and bear record. Now listen, I've never saw him physically. I've never laid eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm glad by the eye of faith on one Sunday morning, I'm glad under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God, I walked up Calvary's hill, lost and undone without God. But thank God when I got to Calvary, hallelujah, this morning, I'm glad I saw him bleeding and dying and suffering for somebody like me and somebody like you. Thank God this morning. I'm glad I can bear record this morning. Thank God I've not saw him with the physical eye, but I'm glad through the eye of faith. Hallelujah, I saw him and received him, and he done something in my life that nobody else could do. Hallelujah, this morning, church. I'm glad I can bear record that this is the Son of God this morning. What else are you looking for? What else are you turning to? Listen, look upon Jesus today. John's confession, I see his calling, but I see his confession. I'm glad, I'm thankful for the verse of Scripture in John, in chapter number 20, verse number 29, where Jesus is talking to Thomas, and Jesus saith unto him, speaking of Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. That's not all he said. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Hallelujah. I have not seen, but yet I have believed. John says, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John said, he's the one. He's the one. He's the one. Now you may be looking at other things this morning. You may be looking at other men. You may be looking at other methods. You may be looking at the mess around us. There's your 3 points. Don't have them wrote down. You may be looking at the mess around us and thinking, what in the world is going to happen? Well, friend, I believe we'll read our Bibles real closely. We can see that the very things that God had prophesied about and foretold about, we can see them certainly unraveling and unwrapping all around us today. Friend, I'll tell you what, you better not put this thing off. You better get right with God. I'll tell you what, we don't have a promise of tomorrow. We don't have a promise of getting out of this building today. But, friend, I'm glad if you'll anchor your soul in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll look upon Him today by faith, I'm glad He'll do for you what nobody else could or would do for you. I'm glad, thank God, He'll gloriously birth you into the family of God where, thank God, He's going to look after us. He's going to take care of us. I don't know how it's all going to turn out necessarily, but I do know one thing. I've read the back of the book, and thank God those that look upon Jesus, I'm glad we're going to come out the winner. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the promises of God today, my friend? We see John's calling. We see his confession. And then I already made a statement of this, but let us think about it for just a moment. I see John's conclusion. This is the Son of God. Now, what is he saying when he makes that statement? This is the Son of God. John is recognizing in his personal recognition, he's recognizing and revealing his deity. Is that important? Oh, you better believe it is. He's recognizing and revealing his deity. He is the Son of God. Irregardless of what the liberals may say, irregardless of what some religions may say, he was promised in the book of Genesis. He was talked about all through the Old Testament and prophesied that he would come. We step out into the 400 years of silence from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, and there's 400 years that God doesn't speak and God doesn't say. Then all of a sudden in the gospel of Matthew, we have the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, of that virgin. That, because you say, preacher, I just can't believe all that. Friend, I'll tell you what, you better believe it this morning, because it's truth. Hallelujah, I'm glad he was conceived of a virgin, born of a virgin, lived a sinless and perfect life, went to the cross of Calvary and laid down his life so that you and I could be redeemed by his good grace this morning. You're believing something. You better believe the truth today, my friend. Seems like people don't want to hear the truth, though. Just like the account in the book of Genesis. If you cannot believe Genesis 1:1, then you're going to have a problem believing the rest of this book. In the beginning. Is that not the way John starts his gospel as well? In the beginning. If you have a problem with God's way of creation this morning, then you're probably going to have a problem with the rest of the Word of God. Just take it as it is. Believe it, receive it, and then live it this morning. John makes the confession. But then John, not only do we see his calling and his confession, but we see his conclusion. This is the Son of God. In other words, he is just exactly who he said that he was. And he still is today. Could I say that? He still is today. Why? Because he's eternal. And the writer, the Apostle John here, deals with that. I don't have time to get into that this morning. So we see, first of all, I want you to see John's personal recognition of Christ. Could I say before I move on today that if you have not had a personal recognition of Christ in your own heart, in your own life, today is your day that you need to recognize him. Not only do I see John's personal recognition of Christ, but secondly, I want you to notice John's powerful revelation of Christ. John's powerful revelation of Christ. You say, preacher, what is that? Well, look back, if you will, in verse number 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, I want you to understand something as we look a little deeper into this thought right here this morning. I want you to understand, the Bible lets us know that this is just before the feast of the Passover. You say, what's significant about that this morning, preacher? Well, at the feast of the Passover, they were to come into Jerusalem, and they were to do the sacrifices. So I want you to think about, for just a moment, go with me there now to where John is. And where Jesus is, and the folks are coming into town for that Feast of the Passover. As you well know, that Feast of the Passover was in celebration of God bringing his children out from under the bondage of Egypt. As they had to take and slay a lamb, and they had to take that blood, and they had to place it upon the doorpost. That when the death angel come through, or when death come through, that death angel would pass over them. And listen to me this morning. Thank God if you want the death angel to pass over you. Oh, yes, you may die physically. But, friend, you don't have to die spiritually. Thank God this morning. I'm glad in Christ, in his blood, there's eternal life. But that was the feast of the Passover. Could you imagine as they're coming in and all the folks are leading those sheep and those lambs and those sacrifices. And in the distance, they could hear the bleating of sheep that were coming into town. And John, he stands up and proclaims, behold the Lamb of God. which taketh away the sin of the world. And then not only does he make that statement once, but he makes that statement twice. Notice in verse 36 again. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, now, notice in verse 29, when he proclaims him as the Lamb of God, you have a comma. Notice in verse number 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. There's an explanation point. There's an explanation point. What's he saying? He's crying out, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. That is a powerful revelation. The Lamb of God. When he makes that statement, let me give you three things about that statement. Number one, in this powerful revelation, he is revealing, first of all, him as the sacrificial lamb. As the sacrificial lamb. Preacher, what's significant about that? Of course, again, you go back to the Old Testament, and of course, talking about the sacrifices. I don't have time to get in all that this morning, but there would be a lamb that would come. Go back to the book of Genesis as Isaac, Abraham is taking Isaac up to the mountain, and Isaac asks the question, of course, about where the sacrifice is. And Abraham makes the statement, God himself will provide a lamb. God himself will provide. So it's significant to the Jews that this statement is made, behold the Lamb of God. And he is proclaiming Jesus, revealing Jesus as the sacrificial lamb, the lamb that would die and take my place. Does that not excite you just a little? The lamb, the sacrificial lamb that would take my place. The book of Hebrews lets us know once and for all that last sacrifice was given, where bulls and goats and all that blood that had been shed down through the ages on the altars. Hallelujah. It could not, thank God, wash away sin. It was a symbolic covering of sin. But hallelujah, when the sacrificial lamb, thank God the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary. I'm glad, thank God, when he shed his blood and he shed it willingly. Hallelujah. It washed our sin away when we received Christ as Savior. We see him, John in his powerful revelation reveals him as the sacrificial lamb. Not only does he reveal him as the sacrificial lamb, but he reveals him as the Savior. As the Savior to shed his own blood to rescue you and I. What does the word Savior mean? It simply means this, a deliverer. When you and I couldn't deliver ourselves, when we couldn't save ourselves, and by the way, we couldn't. And friends, you can't. John is revealing him here to the nations of the Jew. And I realize that the Bible also lets us know in this great context of this first chapter that he came to his own and his own received him not. I understand that. But we see the rejection, most part from the Jewish nation. Hallelujah, it opened up the doors for you and I as Gentiles to come to know the Lamb of God that John the Baptist is proclaiming here. Not only as the sacrificial lamb, but as the Savior of the world for those that would accept him. Not only is John, in his powerful revelation, revealing him as the sacrificial lamb and as the Savior, but thirdly this morning as the one that would bear our sin. Notice what he says in the context of the chapter number 1, the first time he proclaims it here in verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin. Now notice, that is singular. That's not plural, that's singular. The sin of the world. The Bible lets us know in the first man, Adam, all die. Is that not right?
In the first Adam, all men die. And we're studying, and part of the Sunday school classes, and part of they're studying something else, but I don't know why they've done it that way. But anyhow, they're studying the Genesis account. And, of course, you already know this, but in that Genesis account, God makes a perfect place, puts that man in that place, and gives him a choice. And in that choice, man sins. Man goes and makes his own decision. Goes his own way in a sense, and therefore sin, in an instance, is imputed to all of Adam's race. In other words, because Adam sinned, we inherited that sin nature. So in Adam, the first Adam, all die. But then there is a second Adam, according to the Scriptures. There's a second Adam. Who is that second Adam, preacher? That second Adam is no other person but other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who came to bear that sin debt that Adam had brought to himself and to mankind. Jesus, hallelujah, come to take care of that penalty of death because of sin. Hallelujah. We all deserve to die. We all deserve to die under the penalty of sin. And yes, this old body, as I've already said, this old body is going to die. Thank God we get a new one one of these days. Amen. For those that have trusted Christ. But in Adam, all must die. But in the next Adam, this Christ, I'm glad that they all can live. God's holy. God hates sin just as much today as he did back in the Garden of Eden. Think about this with me for just a moment. When you go back to the garden and you look at that, well, what's the big deal, preacher? They just eat some fruit. God said not to eat of it. Let's come down to 2018. Preacher, my sin's not really that bad. Preacher, I hadn't murdered nobody. I hadn't done this and I hadn't done... But we're all sinners according to the Scriptures. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I love the book of Romans, for the wages of sin is death. I quote it often because I love it. What I earned is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I deserve death. I deserve punishment. But God said, whoa, wait just a minute. Hallelujah. John standing here. Hallelujah. And he proclaims, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He's the one. He's here. And thank God, I'm glad he come to take care of that sin debt that I could not pay. Now, we also understand this morning that as we study our Bibles, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, plural. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what's John proclaiming? He's proclaiming him as the sacrificial lamb. He's proclaiming him as the Savior. He's proclaiming him as the one that would bear the sin debt. So you and I don't have to bear it. Let me say that one more time. Some of you didn't get it. He bore that sin debt so I don't have to carry it. Where sin did abound, grace. Glory! Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Where sin did abound, grace, grace, grace. grace did much more abound. Where will we be without grace? Now remember, looking unto Jesus. John proclaims Him in his powerful revelation as the Lamb of God, as the sacrificial Lamb, as the Savior, and the one to bear our sin, the one to pay the price so you and I wouldn't have to. And you think about this morning, if you and I had to pay our own sin debt, well, there's no possible way we could do it. But you don't have to. And somebody may be here this morning and say, "Preacher, what is the greatest of all sin?" Here it is. The rejection of the truth. That the Lord Jesus Christ come to pay your sin debt, and you reject it. That will be the ultimate sin that dooms you to a Christless eternity in a place called hell. I know people don't like to hear that. People make jokes about it. People try to make it sound as not being as bad as it is, and God's a God of love, and God wouldn't send me there. Well, friend, in essence, you send yourself when you reject this Lamb of God. Don't reject Him. I believe we see John's personal receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ, of who He was, the personal recognition of Christ. I see John's powerful revelation. Let me give you this before I move to my third and final point. He's called the Lamb explicitly only twice in the Old Testament, only twice in the Gospels, once in the book of Acts, once in the epistles. But get this, He is called the Lamb of God 28 times in the book of the Revelation. What is the book of the Revelation? A revelation is a revealing. Just as John the Baptist was revealing in here as the Lamb of God, the book of Revelation in revealing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ 28 times lets us know that He is the Lamb of God. Is that significant? You better believe it is. 28 times in the book of the Revelation, the Lamb of God. Thirdly, this morning, I want you to see one final thing. One final truth. I want you to notice John's pointed recommendation. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about? John's pointed recommendation." Look back in verse 29. Behold. Behold. The Lamb of God. What does he say in verse 26? Behold, the Lamb of God. You know what John's saying? Look. Look unto Jesus. That word behold simply means to look. It also means to fix your attention on. Let me have your attention for just a second. That's what John said. Do you get it? John said, look right here just a minute. Hold up. Let me have your attention. Every time I stand in this pulpit, I see people that's looking up, that's looking down, that's looking around. And some people not even looking at all. Somebody will catch up with that after a while and get that. I'm going to keep you guessing on that part. They're not even looking at all. You're trying to share with them the greatest message, thank God, that mankind could hear.
man, you pour your heart into it. You want to warn people. You want to let them know, hey, let me have your attention.
Kind of like dealing with the kids at the Good News Club. We got rules we go over, and I go over them every week. Maybe I need to bring them here. Preacher, you wouldn't do it. Don't put it past me. He deserves my attention. My undivided attention. You know who gets you off track? Old devil gets you off track. You get me off track. And boy, we begin to put our attention and our thinking on other things other than what God has to say to us. But John is saying, behold, let me have your attention. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. They come to John saying, are you the Christ? Nope. Are you Elias or one of the other prophets? Nope. Behold the Lamb. Anybody that will proclaim themselves greater than the Lamb, I don't have time for. Amen. Well, preacher, you preach the slack. You preach Jesus. You preach Jesus. You preach Jesus. And I'm going to keep on preaching Jesus. Behold the Lamb. Two different times. Look. Look here. Pay attention. He's here. Preacher, he's not here today. Oh, yes, he is. And hallelujah, I thank God he is. Preacher, how do you know he's here? Because he's in here. Now, we may not allow him to be manifested in the manner in which he deserves and desires, but thank God he's still here. You need to behold the Lamb. You need to behold him in three different ways, and I'm done. Number one, you need to behold him. Fix your attention on him by faith, as we've already said. Because faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him being God. But he is also a rewarder of them that will seek him and look unto him by faith, according to the book of Hebrews. So you need to behold him by faith. Secondly, you need to behold him in focusing upon him. That's what John is saying. John said, he's telling that delegation, those Pharisees, that of course they have sent him down there to question John. And John says, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Behold the Lamb. So number one, do it by faith. Number two, focus. Even as Christians this morning, if we're not careful, we begin to focus on everything else around us. And I'm just as guilty as anybody. If nobody else don't need the message, thank you, Lord, for letting me preach it, and thank you for speaking to my own heart. Because there's times, if I'm not careful, I'm not beholding the Lamb. I'm looking at everything else around me. Man, we come in here to worship. We'll just behold the Lamb. Amen. Give our attention to Him. I don't come for you. You shouldn't come for me. I'm glad you're here. I think the house ought to be full myself. But we don't come for that. We come to behold the Lamb. Preacher, I can stay at home and behold the Lamb. That ain't scriptural. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. We live in a messed up world. What's happened? What's happened the last 50 years of my life? As I look back over America itself, what's happened? My grandchildren and my children are not growing up in the same nation that I grew up in. And that saddens me. Why? Because I think we went the wrong direction. What's happened? We've quit beholding the Lamb. We've quit focusing on the Lamb. By faith and focused upon Him. And then thirdly, beholding Him and following Him. Notice what happens in the text, and I'm done. Look at verse 37. And the two disciples heard Him speak. Now watch it. Heard Him speak, and they followed John. Oh, wait a minute. And they followed Jesus. That ought to be the goal of every God-called preacher. That ought to be the goal of every Sunday school teacher. That ought to be the goal of every singer. Of anybody that does anything at all for God, that ought to be the ultimate goal, that they not follow us, but that they follow Jesus. This morning, the question is still before us. Are we looking upon Jesus? Am I looking upon Jesus? Are you looking upon Jesus? Here's when we get in trouble, is when we take our eyes off of Jesus. Man, you study the Scriptures. He's the bread of life. He's light. He's life. He's the resurrection. Just the seven I ams. Very significant. But I don't believe there's no greater title that's given unto our Lord than the Lamb of God. Because had He not been the Lamb, the sacrifice, He couldn't have been my Savior. And He couldn't have bore my sin. But thank God He did. And not only mine, but that of each and every one of us here this morning. Of our families, of our neighbors, of our county, of our state, of our country, and of the whole world. Why did Jesus tell him to go ye into all the world? Because He was going to go to Calvary so that the world could come. Looking upon Jesus as we stand at our feet this morning, all over the house, if you're able to stand. Brother Scotty, come and get us a song. Father, now with Your help this morning, and I thank You for Your help, I've tried to share the very message that You've placed upon my heart for this hour. And Lord, I don't know anybody's heart in this building this morning, but Father, You know everybody's heart. And as John proclaims You as the Lamb of God and as the Son of God, I pray this morning that as that great statement is made in that verse, looking upon Jesus, I pray this morning that You'd help each of us that we'd look upon You today. That we would trust You by faith, that we would focus upon You, that we would follow You. Lord, every day of our lives. But Father, there may be some here today that's never looked upon Jesus as the Lamb of God. I pray this morning in the stillness of this service, He, the Holy Ghost of God, will knock upon that heart's door. There could be one, there could be two, there could be five, there could be ten. Lord, I have no idea. But Lord, I truly feel like You've laid this message upon my heart for this hour. And now it's up to me and it's up to each individual what we do with it. And I pray in the stillness of this invitation that, Father, You would speak and move. And I pray if there is someone here today that, Father, today would be the day that they would step out by faith and come and look upon Jesus and see Him as the one, the sacrificial Lamb, as the Savior and as the sin bearer that took our place. I pray if there's one here today out of the will of God, that, Lord, you might touch their heart as well. Help us all, Father. Lord, I sure do need your help. And Lord, I know that we all do. But take the invitation, you use it, and we'll thank you and praise you. And it's in Christ's name. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed, as it plays softly for just a moment before we begin to sing.